The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark, and she saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived first at the tomb. He bent down and he saw the burial clothes there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb, and he saw the burial cloths there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the others, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived first at the tomb, and he saw and he believed, for they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. The text we have today for our Gospel reading comes from the book of John. So let me look at this word of God and invite each of us to seek our presence in the living word of God. The ideal when we read God's word is to somehow find ourselves in the word. As you know, the Gospel of John is elusive in many ways. It is considered separate from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It has a mystical character to it, and it has second and third level meaning. It will be a mistake, therefore, to read the Gospel of John merely for its immediate and literal value. It has a deeper theology in it. So let me look at this for a few moments of homiletic reflection on this wonderful day of new life, the Easter day. There is mention here in this text today, which comes from the 20th chapter of John, mention of the beloved disciple. So let me look at this for a few moments. The beloved disciple, that reference appears six times in the Gospel of John. It first appears in chapter 13, in verse 25. You may remember this. At the Last Supper, Jesus announces that one of you is about to betray me. He is very traumatized in this announcement. And Peter asks the beloved disciple, who is sitting next to Jesus, ask Jesus who it is who will do the betrayal. And it says that the beloved disciple leaned on Jesus' chest and he asked him, "Who is it who will betray you?" That's an interesting reference here. Leaning on the chest of Jesus is meant in the Gospel of John to indicate that he listened to the heart of Jesus. Before we had stethoscopes, when we wanted to find out if the person was breathing, if the heart was alive, we put our ear to the person's heart. So this is not meant to be literal. It's meant to be a statement that he connected with the heart of Jesus. He was bonded to Jesus in this sensitive way, a closeness which appears not to be there for the others. So the beloved disciple is the one who connects with the heart of Jesus. That's the first reference we have to the beloved disciple. Move along in the Gospel of John, and you'll find in chapter 19, in the crucifixion of Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is there, and two other women with her, and the beloved disciple. He's not named. The beloved disciple is never named in the Gospel of John. But whoever he is there at the crucifixion. And remember, Jesus says to his mother, "Behold your son." And to the beloved disciple, "Behold your mother." That's the beloved disciple. There's a third reference here in chapter 20, which is our gospel text today in the resurrection event. And then there are two more times when this is mentioned in chapter 21 in John's gospel. And what does this mean to us? The beloved disciple in John's gospel is not meant to be a person, designated person. The beloved disciple is whoever is a disciple of Jesus Christ is beloved. Could it be in chapter 2 we had Nicodemus? Remember Nicodemus, he was lost, and he comes to Jesus in his time of darkness, and he seeks new life, and Jesus says, "You must be born from above. You must be born again." Could it be that Nicodemus was the beloved disciple there in chapter 3 in the Gospel of John? Or perhaps in chapter 4, you have that woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, married 5 times, living with a man who is not her husband. However you interpret that, she is the first one to announce Jesus as the Messiah. Could it be that the compassionate connection that Jesus makes with her, that she is the image of the beloved disciple? Read on in the Gospel of John. In chapter 8, you have the woman taken in adultery, and Jesus, in his kindness and caring and understanding, says, "I do not condemn you as all the others have condemned you." Could it be that she is an image of the beloved disciple? Chapter 11 in the Gospel of John, these are all Johannine references. Chapter 11 has Lazarus. Remember, he raised Lazarus from the dead, and the people say, "See how he loved him." Perhaps Lazarus is the image of the beloved disciple. In Luke chapter 23, you have Jesus and one of the thieves crucified with him, one of the criminals, says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says to him, "This day you will be with me in paradise." Could it be that he is an image of the beloved disciple? So who is the beloved disciple? Whoever follows Jesus Christ is the beloved disciple. You are the beloved disciple, the one who turns to the Lord, the one who seeks an Easter experience of the risen Jesus. You are the beloved disciple. Everyone listening to me, connecting with Jesus Christ on this Easter day, you are the beloved disciple. That's the image. I once did a study on this with Father Raymond Brown, the most distinguished Johannine scholar in all those who have studied the Gospel of John. And I asked him, and he said, "It's not a person, an individual, it's many people. The beloved disciple is whoever chooses to follow Jesus Christ, whoever connects with the risen Lord, whoever claims the freedom of new life in Jesus Christ. You are the beloved disciple. You who are struggling in life, you who feel the church has left you out, you who feel that you're merely a sinner, You're not in the company and in the love of Jesus Christ. You are the beloved disciple. Each and every one of you. The person who struggles in life, the person who falls a second or the third time and struggles to get up, you, my friend, are the beloved disciple. The one who is struggling to find meaning in life, the one overcome by fear, struggling, uncertain of the future, you are the beloved disciple. And this is the meaning of infinite love, the risen Jesus Christ calling us into a new world, into a new experience of freedom, the freedom given to us as a son or a daughter of the living God, made in the image of the Creator. In my wish to attach some very powerful image of this infinite love of Jesus Christ, I would like to introduce you to this moment of forgiveness, healing, and blessing. This statue, I found this in Bethlehem. It's the only place I have ever seen this statue, was in Bethlehem. I was so impressed by the statue that I bought this and I brought it from Bethlehem. I have never seen it anywhere else. It's the image of Jesus after the resurrection, and he comes back to forgive the soldier who crucified him. You will notice the soldier has the mallet here, and then he has a knife or a spear here. And this is the image of the risen Lord. Could it be that the soldier who crucified Jesus was loved into discipleship by the risen Lord? Could it be that every sinner who seeks the love of God? This is a powerful image, doesn't appear in the Gospels, but it's a consequence of our belief in the infinite love of God. So, my friend, lift up your spirit on this Easter day. Feel the blessing of God. Feel the embrace of God's love for you. Whatever struggles you have in your life, you belong. The infinite love of God covers every failure, every struggle, every default, every failing you have in your life. You are loved infinitely by the risen Jesus Christ. And so, of course, Easter Day is a day of new life, a new understanding of ourselves, and a new experience of God's infinite love for us. Amen.